The University Tower Chimes bring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the College for Creative Studies, it's Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent.
Kind of glad I didn't grab any food to shove it in my mouth.
I was going to call on Dan,
but
then
he's
I saw
too busy
the
noshing,
giant so. Cookie. If Heather were here, she has just huge problems with me calling on her whenever she puts something in her mouth, but she always eats something right before I introduce.
Matt, were you like a waiter in a previous life?
I was not.
Okay, I wasn't sure, because you guys know the timing with waiters asking if your meals are right. So.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, how's everything taste? And you've got like a mouthful of mozzarella.
What were you in your previous life?
What was I?
Yeah.
Did I have a previous life?
Well, I was just checking. You were sure it wasn't a waiter.
No, it definitely was not a waiter.
Oh.
If anything, I was a children's librarian in a previous life.
See, if anything.
That's not a bad thing.
Yep,
it's
exactly.
It's noble.
I could totally see that.
I always use that as the example when I give students sort of a templated resume because, you know, you've got your job and when you had it and then a couple bullet points underneath of things that you did. And because it's true, one of the things on my old resume is dressed up like a bear, you know, so it just...
That's
assistant children's librarian. What can I say?
All right.
Those were the days. Those were the days. What was Professor Kendra Evans from the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry in a previous life?
Most likely a house cat, I'm guessing.
Rare.
Yeah. No, more like just sleep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
Rest I don't know what
in
you're
the
talking
sun.
About, but...
Like those little squinty eyes they get when the sun is shining on them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was me.
Oh,
jeez. Oh, my word. Things are happening.
Professor Chow is going down dangerous road.
You could get suspended 5 games for doing something like that. Oh, my gosh. Continuing around the table, Professor Joe Abbasid. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good to see you here.
It's a pleasure to be here, as it always is.
You did some ethics bowl officiating today, and then it sounded like there may have been a violation of ethics near the end of the judging session.
Wait a minute, there's no nudity involved, was there?
No.
Not as far as we know.
Yeah, something very minor.
I just love the idea that you were just explaining to us that a first-year group of females was clobbering everybody in this competition.
Mm, pretty much.
That's awesome.
The men really didn't have anything interesting to... contribute in their responses.
That's very, very cool. How many teams total this year?
I think there might be 8 or 10.
Okay, that's pretty good for a university of our size.
Yeah.
We always have a good time.
Yeah.
Hasn't recovered from the break that we took a couple years ago, but it'll get there. It just needs to be back in the public consciousness for a while. One of the students who we were talking about student behaviors, positive and negative, before we got started today, and one of the students who essentially almost nearly dresses slovenly showed up in a bow tie and a collared shirt today. And I'm like, oh, you must be an ethics bowl. How did you know? I'm like, well, you know, you're not dressed in sackcloth today. And that was my first indicator. And Professor Dan Maggio is here. What can I say? Finally, worlds colliding. My kids are getting excited for some competition starting tomorrow. They're very, very excited. Going out to Canton tomorrow.
Canton?
Yes.
Excellent. Are you going to go?
You know, my wife is going to take because I got to take the other ones to basketball practice. But
okay. Well, good luck.
Yeah, first tech challenge. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. How cool.
Yeah. So this year, I just got to say, because I'm just getting used to it, Dan, you had already mentioned it even before my kids got involved, that the theme this year was hydrodynamics.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like having your 9-year-old fourth grader come home with a thought experiment sheet. He's like, Dad, can you help me with this? There's one line of text on the top from his robotics coach. Based on the hurricanes that have happened in Puerto Rico, what do you think about the availability of clean water? I'm like, oh my gosh, this is great. Like, we're really hitting some of the tough issues hard here.
So did you have a chat with him? And
we had a chat about
sketched his thoughts down.
What it might be like to live without clean water and what you can do to make sure clean water is accessible even after a disaster.
Or even how long you can live without
water. How long you can live without water.
I've been living without it for 2 weeks in Farmington Hills.
Farmington Hills. Oh, the
just
water
the
main.
Northwest area. Apparently it's safe, but the road is still closed, which
right.
gives me some concern.
Yes.
So I'll drink it again once the road opens up.
Holy
so
crap.
Yeah.
So you have bottled water?
No, I just drink water here.
Yes.
Just not drinking water like I used to.
Oh, man.
I think we're living in this 25 to 30 year gap of all the wonderful infrastructure of the 50s and 60s getting ready to completely self-destruct.
Like, bridges and things like that falling apart.
Yes. Just what we need, another wet winter to redo our roads here in Michigan.
That big hole in Fraser.
Oh, my.
That big sinkhole. Yeah. That's not good.
Yeah, I know. That's right. Not good stuff.
We're right around where we used to play hockey.
If it gets any bigger.
Folks, this is a program you can send us questions regarding anything. Frankly, where is the sinkhole question set? If you stump the panel, you win an autographed photograph of the Ask the Professor panel and the ATP mug. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win a prize too, the autographed photograph. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP. You can find us on Facebook, or you can wait until we fall into a sinkhole, and then maybe you're already in the sinkhole, and you give us our questions then. Dear Matt and professors, here's a hodgepodge of questions on a variety of things. I just couldn't come up with an interesting topic theme, so I culled them from all sorts of things. I hope you will enjoy these questions. Best wishes, Amy Dixon, longtime question submitter. Oh my, Amy, you submitted these at midnight in 26 minutes. Please spend your regular waking hours working on questions. We don't mean to keep you up. I'll tell you that. Oh, my gosh.
But thank you.
Which of the Golden Girls from the TV show of the same name had a husband named Stanley?
Dorothy.
It was definitely Dorothy. Do you remember why she divorced him?
He had an affair with a young bimbo.
That's good enough for me. He ran off with a flight attendant, is what it says. Ooh. A flight attendant.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty good bet answer. Whenever that's asked.
Whenever that sort of thing is asked.
Also, he was ridiculous.
He was played by a very funny comic actor on the show, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. He was good. He was good.
Tall guy.
The tall guy.
Yeah
the,
he had a mustache, bald. I think.
He's tall and bald.
Toupee.
Right. Yeah. Right, exactly.
Right.
What was Doc Holliday's profession before he became a gunfighter?
He's a doctor. Oh, no.
He was a doctor of something.
Veterinarian.
No, he was not.
Well, back then, what else was there a doctor of?
Just a couple other things.
Was he a dentist?
He was a dentist, yeah. He actually was a dentist.
Were they even dentists back? I thought doctors were just... No, who did the dentistry work back in the good old days?
If you're talking medieval times, yeah. It was like the leeching the blacksmith, and the blacksmith or something like that. Yeah,
the farrier.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Well, they got the tools.
They do some, technical, physical work in there.
No,
similar materials.
No big fans of the Tombstone movie? That was a pretty good movie.
No, never saw it.
That was great.
I remember I had free tickets to it, never went.
Just the Star Trek version.
Val Kilmer, Kurt Russell.
The Star Trek version of the OK Corral gunfight. Yeah, that's right. I can see that the randomizer button on Wikipedia might be clicked a few times in a row here. What was the name of Gene Autry's horse in 79 of the films?
Was it Silver was Lone Ranger. It wasn't like Buttercup.
It was not? It was a little more aggressive than Buttercup.
Aggressive.
Yes. I'm trying like, the name. A Challenger.
Very close.
Charger.
No.
I was thinking the same thing.
Same name as the last name of the person who broadcasts for the Pistons now. If you ever listen to Pistons games,
George
on the radio.
Blaha.
No, it isn't George Blaha.
Champion. Mark Champion.
Mark Champion. Yeah, it's Champion.
Oh, Champion. That makes sense.
He's a Challenger.
Yeah,
this guy's close here. Very, very well done. Mm-hmm. Wendy. Of fast food fame, has what colored bows in her red hair?
Red, yellow, white, blue?
Blue. You landed on it at the end. It says here that it's blue.
I'm just remembering the logo, the one up by us.
Mm-hmm. Well, until recently, that was still the old logo. They're still sort of renovating.
And you guys ever noticed the mom written into the collar?
That's right.
No.
Yes.
Didn't notice that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And besides, it's like Matt noticing that I kind of like Colonel Sanders, too. But, we won't go there. Sorry.
You do.
That's what I will eventually become.
He said that before. I'm not.
Yes, I will
become. He says I look like Charlie Brown, so he gets to.
Yeah,
I'm allowed to say whatever I want.
Yeah. I could be Colonel Sanders in another lifetime.
By the way, I don't look like Charlie Brown.
You do not.
Until we start putting little black dots on the back of your head.
Right. If we do the eyes like this, who is the lead singer of this band, the Boomtown Rats?
Oh,
Bob. I don't like Mondays.
All the African
you're
African
right.
fundraisers.
You're absolutely right.
Baba
Vila.
This old house.
Last name starts with G.
Geldof.
Bob Geldof.
Wow.
When you,
I can picture him.
Yeah, what was the cause that he had back in the
Farm Aid?
No, that was Willie Nelson. That was not Rite Aid.
We Are the World.
Yeah.
Did he do
Neil Young? Farm Aid.
Farm Aid. What was this cause?
We Are the World.
Live Aid.
Some Live Aid.
Remember, it was between Philadelphia and Wembley. Yes. Phil Collins flew back and forth with the Concorde back in the day.
When you were doing the ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Were you going to go Barbaran right after that?
No, but that's pretty close. Oh. Yeah. We have a new family meme at our house because my five-year-old kindergartner came home with a tree made of handprints of himself where he has hung a little apple on it for each member of the family. And if you read exactly what he wrote in his five-year-old handwriting, the five members of his family are me, Mom, Joe, Lorenzo, and Baba da 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 da. Because he doesn't know how to write a D, so he can't write the word dad. And I'm like, who the heck is this supposed to be? Is that supposed to be Enzo? Because that's a tough one. He's like, no, he perfectly wrote Lorenzo over here on the side.
But he can't write dad.
Can't just write pops.
That's hilarious.
It's a lot easier. Pops.
The man. The old. Actually, he knows to get my goat. He calls me daddy. He's like, hi, daddy. I'm like, don't call me daddy.
Oh, thank
goodness your sister-in-law was there last week and corralled the little fellow.
Oh, yes. She's the cage.
Yeah, she is. She does a wonderful. I don't know how she does it.
Oh, no. Well, with her cell phone. That's the way she does it. Snapchat is always fun to play with. What Blondie song was used in the Richard Gere movie American Gigolo?
Call Me.
Call Me. Yes, it was Call Me. It sort of makes sense if you think about it. I watched a movie trailer the other day that had some Tom Petty over it, and I'm like, 2 months ago, I wonder if that would have been the song you would have chose for this trailer. You know what I mean? It's actually kind of capitalization on the passing of poor Tom Petty. Who is commonly referred to as the Galloping Gourmet?
I can picture him. Yeah. I can see him.
Initials G.K.
Kerr.
Yeah, it is Kerr.
Graham Kerr.
Graham Kerr.
You two together are a force to be reckoned with.
I can totally see him.
Unbelievable.
Didn't he used to have like a sip of wine between every like ingredient, too? By the time
possibly
the show ended, he was three-course knackered already. I mean,
soused.
That was Julia, too.
How long was the show?
Half hour. Depending how much you chug, I mean, you know.
How many outtakes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably.
Yeah, mind you, that's after editing.
Right, that was 30 minutes, but it probably took 3 hours.
It was a two-day show. They can only use like 30 minutes of footage.
If you remember Phyllis Diller's shtick, she always joked about having a husband who was fictitious. What did she name him? It's a very weird name.
Was it Edgar? No, it was Joan Rivers.
It was not an actual person's name. You may have seen some little ones come to your house wearing these on their teeth.
Fangs?
Fang was the name that she had for
very
her
good.
That's right. Yeah, I kept on thinking Edgar, but that's Joan Rivers.
That's right.
Wrong one.
Well, we think about that. Let's take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
The radio program on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors and their guests in a special session of unrehearsed questions and answers. I'm your host, Edwin DeWent. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, the chair of that department, Professor George Pickering.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Pleasure to have you here, as always.
Sure.
And to his far right, from the Department of History, Professor Greg Sumner.
Yeah, do we get, like, door prizes or something?
Is that, like, the radical right? Oh,
yeah. No, not really. He couldn't accuse Greg of being that at all.
Can we turn in our meal ticket for a door prize?
I don't see why not. Okay. Sure. He's back. Kevin Sajak.
The Lazarus of piano
players. The Lazarus of piano players, yes.
Welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks.
We're glad to have you here. Most of the questions, certainly, you hear in this program are sent in by our listeners. Before we start with our questions from the people out there in Radioland,
I know it's coming.
We have the producer's questions. Oh,
these are always...
Our producer, Melissa Samuel.
Ungrammatical, historical, all the vices. Go ahead.
What is the last name of the architect who designed the General Motors Tech Center? He also did Cranbrook.
Finn.
I'm going to throw in Dulles Airport next.
And he designed the first co-ed dorm at the University of Chicago.
Really?
Well,
imagine my surprise in the fall of 1959, coming out of the protected atmosphere of Bates College to a place where they were throwing open co-ed dorms.
Wow.
I mean, at Bates, women were signing in and out in those days. Mm-hmm.
Imagine my surprise in 1968 going to Michigan State University and having a roommate who had all his kilos of marijuana mailed to our room in my name so he wouldn't be arrested.
Very thoughtful man.
It was. I was.
It was a man, wasn't it?
Indeed it was.
And we're back with some great questions. When carnival barkers yell, "Hey, Rube," what does it signal to the other carnival workers?
There's a fight. They need help.
How do you know that off the top of your head?
Because I was a carny.
What?
What? I was a carny for a summer.
Wait, now where does that... I mean, a Rube is usually like an out-of-towner or a dumb person or something like that.
You must have a lot of good stories. Not good for the radio.
Yeah, not good for the radio, but yeah.
No. There's a fight and help is needed.
Yeah, you go, "Hey, Rube." And that's when help comes.
Wow.
Hopefully. Knock on wood.
What?
Wow. There's so much I don't understand about the carnival atmosphere.
And Dave's history.
And Dave's history. And both of those things.
Sorted.
Together.
Sorted past.
Wow. How old was Tatum O'Neill when she won an Oscar for her role in the movie Paper Moon?
I think 11 years,
less
9 months.
Than that.
10 years.
10 is what it says here. Yeah, I was going to give you 11, but Professor Abbasid was right by saying less than that, too. I want to say she's the youngest ever Oscar recipient.
I remember right. She was really good.
Yeah. Her husband is a good trivia question, too.
Oh, who's what's that? Remind me.
Wasn't it John McEnroe?
Was
yes.
it?
Oh, my God. They were married. They're not still married, are they?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure they aren't.
Is she, what is she? Is she still in film anymore? I don't recall.
Yeah.
Is she out of?
She does stuff. She does things.
Okay.
What three colors comprise the logo for 7-Eleven?
Green, orange, yellow, red.
And red.
Green, orange, red is what it says here. Green, orange, red. I think there's some white there, but you know, maybe it's just negative space, you know, that sort of thing.
We used to do the ads for them, that's all.
Oh, interesting. Oh.
Yeah, donor had them at one point, so I remember drawing those ads.
Who is the actor that portrayed Detective Dietrich on the TV show Barney Miller?
Steve.
Wow.
Not Gutenberg, but Steve.
Somethingberg.
Eisenberg. No, and not Iceberg.
Starts with the letter L.
Landisberg.
Landisberg. You're just
so
between
weird,
your carny background.
So much about
and your
so many
TV
celebrity personalities.
Come on, I grew up adoring Hal Linden's voice.
It's great
voice.
That you know so much
voice.
About celebrities. Hal Linden, it's just very impressive.
That was my babysitter growing up. Here, kid. Watch the television. Leave us alone.
You know,
but
else
most people could
voice?
Watch it and not learn as much as you did about all of the characters.
I guess. I like the title credits.
Oh, yeah, I never looked at those.
Come on, I still remember, like, was it Abe Vigoda, Jack Sue?
That's what I was thinking. What about the dulcet tones of Abe Vigoda?
Or Max Gale, who's got Detroit roots.
That's right. Absolutely right. What brand of coffee once had a logo with a man in a floral robe and turban sipping coffee?
Not Folgers.
Mm-mm. I'm surprised you guys don't know this one.
Not Maxwell House. Maxwell
I could
House
have told
drip.
You this one because my parents drank this brand.
Wait, but didn't your parents drink Chock Full of Nuts?
They also did Chock Full of Nuts.
Oh, okay.
They only went for the most colorful logos.
It's not 8 o'clock.
Mm-mm, it's not 8 o'clock.
It's A&P.
It's, does it begin with a D?
You're going to go with Dunkin' Donuts.
No.
It's not. It is not.
It's not Tim Hortons.
Nope, not Tim
I've Hortons. Never had coffee Tino. Before, so...
Oh, I'm feeling like this must have gone defunct a number of years ago. I'm not sure that it's
sold definitely
anymore.
Familiar. I mean, I can remember commercials from
the
80s or something.
Sipping the coffee.
Yeah. What is
I did
the answer?
Work in a
hold on. I'm
yes,
looking over Michael. Coffee cans, no. Michael. You're killing me.
It's Hills Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Hills
Brothers.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that is
that was my
familiar.
Parents' brand.
They don't have that anymore?
I don't know if they do. I don't buy. Oh, okay. Michael's saying they
okay.
do. So
they do?
We're
there's like 100 brands in the coffee. If you ever go down
yeah.
the coffee
yeah.
especially well, the if you curates. Live in an area where there are a lot of mm-hmm. local roasters, mm-hmm. it's like...
There was only one member of the Laugh-In cast who appeared in every single
yeah.
episode,
Michael Jason
including the pilot,
I don't see any...
not counting Ronan Martin. Who was it?
Artie Johnson. Tomlin.
Sorry.
Goldie Hawn.
Nope.
Ruth Buzzy.
Ruth Buzzy.
I was going to go Henry Buzz? Gibson. That was going to be my next
Ruth
one.
Ruth
so.
Buzzy. Everybody's crazy aunt, Ruth Buzzy.
Man, you guys love your TV.
I know. I don't know how you guys know so much.
We're going to call it classic TV.
Yeah. We don't know anything else. That's
we're absolutely useless. We couldn't turn a doorknob with one hand, okay? I mean, come on.
Can't even remember the last show I watched anymore.
Oh, no.
I got to start catching up on Stranger Things season two.
So I just started to tell Leslie, we just reactivated Netflix and watched the first. And then the second episode, almost to the end, so tonight we're going to do binge for about three. It's pretty good.
Okay.
And the nice thing about it is it's centered around the kids.
I think that's what I like about it.
The kids, they just add another layer to it, how they interact.
Stranger Things.
It's only on Netflix?
Yes.
It's Netflix, yes. What industry awards the FIFF awards every year? F-I-F-F.
FIFF.
Film industry?
No.
Is it football?
I got to be honest, my eyesight is very poor. It could also possibly say Fifi. It's a very small tongue.
Fifi?
Who gives the FIFF or the Fifi awards every year?
Like soccer?
No.
Wait a minute, that sounds like farmers.
No, it's actually a product that you would purchase.
Feet? Foot?
Nothing having to do with feet.
Not film.
Unless you wanted to cover up the smell of those feet.
Foot powders?
Nope. The Gold Bond Awards present.
Yeah.
It's not socks, perfume, deodorant.
It's perfume. It's perfume. It's perfume.
Perfume.
I'm guessing the fifth thing, I guess that's why my eyes gravitated that way, is like the sound of the atomizer.
Is it kind of like you reading Wi-Fi?
Yeah, something like that. Wi-Fi. Everybody says Wi-Fi. I think wife.
Wi-Fi.
Weird stuff. Which U.S. president renamed the presidential retreat Shangri-La? He called it Camp David, which is what it's been called ever since.
That was after his grandson, Eisenhower.
Yeah, Eisenhower. Yeah, exactly. Nice. Shangri-La seems a little...
What's the name of the restaurant my dad worked at?
Oh, really? Oh, that's cool. The immortal... What was it? The Shangri-La is sort of like the El Dorado of China. Is that fair to say?
I don't know. They just had decent egg rolls.
I'm talking a little more general than that.
Oh, I didn't know.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, this is actually a fantastic trivia question. Professor Evans will get it in 5 seconds.
Oh.
There are five elements on the periodic table that only have one of the same kind of vowel used inside of them.
One of the same kind of vowel?
So I'll give you one so you understand. Boron is one of them because the only vowel in it is O.
Okay.
Oh.
There are four others.
Oh.
There
are four others.
Wait, there are four. Two O's, you mean?
Yeah, well, no. It's the same.
Whatever vowel they have, they only have that vowel. How's that?
Tin?
Tin is one of them that has only Zinc? An eye. Zinc is one of them, only has one eye.
Sorry, Kendra, I had to step in.
No, please help me out.
Boron, tin, and zinc we have.
Probably going to X on
gold?
Beryllium.
Gold, only has one O.
No, there's only one iron, more left. I was going to say iron.
I'll even let you know, it starts with the letter S.
Not strontium, not sodium.
Not cesium.
So it has to be very short.
How about if I tell you that it is the atomic symbol for S?
Oh, sulfur.
Sulfur.
Yeah, but that's tricky because it sounds different.
That's good. Okay, yeah.
That's
because
tricky.
I kept going for the single syllable.
Yeah, I was trying to think of something short.
I like that zinc question.
Can you?
That's a good one.
Can you name the entire periodic table?
No. That is useless, and I never would ask my students to memorize that.
Okay.
And I will argue
simple yes or no
with the validity, or the efficiency, or anything good about doing that, except for in purposes of Ask the Professor trivia questions, where it can be very helpful.
It's a coordinating document. I was forced to memorize it in the eighth grade, and I'm not sure that's the reason why I'm a chemist, but it is kind of useless in the end to do that.
It's with you on every exam. And in real life, you can put one in your office. Yeah, why would you spend your time memorizing that?
Yeah, I just asked if you knew it, that's all.
No, it's kind of like
mental
people asking
stop
me
asking
about
questions.
You know, like known crayon colors.
No, I feel strongly about it, too. I think it's kind of lame.
Now here's a question, Dan. Why do we have the periodic tables in all the classrooms, then? Is it helpful in reference?
For reference.
Yeah. Or in our case, why don't we have it in all of our classrooms?
In all of our classrooms in the chemistry building, yeah. That's
you use it so often... Are you able to actually just...
It's just like how when you're in high school classrooms, they always have a map that pulls down from the from the projector screen, you know? It's because you use it so frequently.
Usually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
Soviet all my schools Union. Were built in the 60s, right?
Czechoslovakia.
Speaking of countries, what was Bangladesh formerly known as before it declared its independence and named itself Bangladesh?
Prasad would know this.
I believe Prasad would. But it's not India, I can tell you that.
I don't know.
Not like Myanmar, no.
It is a direction and then the name of an existing country that it's very close to.
North Pakistan?
North
India. East Pakistan. Oh. You had a 1 in 4 wow. shot. Well done.
Well, it wasn't assuming like I knew Pakistan that I had a 1 in 4 south, shot.
Yeah. North, northwest or no something idea. Like that.
Everything that I learned about Pakistan, I learned from watching The Big Sick with Kamal Nanjiani. Everybody should see
that. That is a great movie.
At least I'm glad you didn't say it was from Apu or something like that.
Did you see his monologue on SNL?
He's one of the funniest people I've ever met in my entire life.
When I saw him, I was like, this has got to be that guy from that one movie that Matt was talking about. And then I saw it and I was like,
he's so funny.
Brilliant.
He actually had a terrifying set of about 10 or 12 tweets the other day that really, like, honestly, I'm thinking of a way that I can incorporate this in class because I'm like, this is important. He's very well known for being one of the comedy minds on the show called Silicon Valley, where they're making fun of people who invent new apps and programs and stuff. And he says, as part of our prep for the show, we go visit your technologists in Silicon Valley all the time. And he goes, I'm just posting this on Twitter right now. Left and right, they are inventing things that they should not invent. And they never ask the question, should we invent this? They just go and do it. And he goes, I just have a liberal arts degree, but maybe we should start asking the question, you know, should we, instead of let's just do it. Let's invent a robot that can just, you know, read 8 million, you know, credit card numbers in 2 seconds and send that information back to the federal government. Did you ask whether you should do that or not? Of course, he turned it into a joke. He goes, have any of you ever read Jurassic Park? It's just sort of like that's the.
Is this like one of those situations where it's better to ask for forgiveness?
No.
Yeah.
I believe he's referring to sort of a capitalistic view of you got to get there first instead of asking, you know,
the moral.
I thought of you, Joe, because I know that you talk about some things like that in some of your classes.
Oh, shoot. I thought you were questioning Joe's ethics.
Yeah, I found it fascinating. Let's sober up here or unsober up. What did the incoming class have entering Harvard fall of 1967 that they never had before?
Computer.
No, not a computer. That's a good guess, though.
Did it have to do with the makeup, demographic makeup of the class?
Indeed it does.
Not women.
Women. Oh. Women.
Yes. Because they used to go to Wellesley.
Wellesley.
Oh, okay.
AKA the women's college. Right? Oh, we are so out of time. It's time for us to say goodbye, Professor Maggio.
Goodbye.
Professor Abbasid.
Take care.
Professor Evans.
Bye-bye.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed today by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.